And I ask you to remain standing for the reading of God's Word that comes tonight from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. Hear God's Word. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priest and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no fault, no guilt in him." You may be seated.
If you have an order of service, I'm going to encourage you to look at the cover. You'll see we have what some might describe as a clip art depiction of the crown of thorns. It's there for you to consider. Why did the Romans put a crown of thorns on Jesus' head? Why did they do that? In our passage, it says the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. Well, I could think of at least two reasons why they might do that. The first is they were literally adding insult to injury. You might have heard that phrase before. Don't add insult to injury. They were mocking him. And you can see that clearly in verse 3 when they would come up to him. These are the soldiers, and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and then strike him with their hands. That is mocking, belittling, and part of that belittling and part of that mocking is this crown that they put on him, this crown of thorns. There's one other reason why they might be doing that, and that's to mock the Jewish people. This is probably not the first time that they've done something like this. There have been many kings, according to the Romans, alleged kings who opposed Caesar and his armies. And all of them fell. And part of this process, part of this subjugation process that the Roman soldiers would have been well familiar is that they would take would-be kings, people who would set themselves up as being Caesar's equal or greater than Caesar. And they would show this person, but more importantly even, they would show the people who followed this person what they thought of their kingdom. The message is quite clear. You and your people and your kingdom are a joke to us. We will torture you and kill you and kill this person you think is important because he means nothing compared to us and our Caesar, our emperor, our commander, our army, and our empire. It is not just for Jesus, for the disciples, that this is done. This is also done for the Jewish people. As is often the case, while they seemingly are acting out of hatred, these Roman soldiers are actually fulfilling God's will and His purpose. They don't know it, and they're not the first to do damage to God's people under the direction of God's hand. In Genesis 50:20, Joseph meets his brothers again after they sold him into slavery. And if you read from that point on, Joseph's life is incredibly difficult, harrowing. But the Lord blesses him, and eventually his dreams as a child come true, and his brothers bow before him. And what does he say? He says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." These soldiers take this crown of thorns and they fashion it and they jam it down on Jesus' head and they parade him in front of the people and they say, "This is your joke of a king," as if he could ever challenge us. And yet, even though they meant it for evil, God means it for good, that many people might be kept alive, in the words of Joseph. But why thorns? Now, if you ask an evolutionary biologist, why are there thorns? Why do thorns exist? The answer will be something along the lines of this. Over millions of years of history, the plants that grew thorns didn't get eaten by the herbivores, and the ones that didn't have thorns were consumed into extinction. And some of you might say the plants learned how to develop thorns as a defense mechanism. That's an interesting way to think about it for sure. The scriptures tell us a different story. They actually tell us where thorns came from. If you have your Bible, or the pew Bible, why don't you turn back to Genesis chapter 3. It's on page 4 in your pew Bible. After Adam and Eve have sinned against God, God is going to dole out some curses. And if you look in verse 17, after he has spoken to the serpent and to the woman, he speaks to Adam. And this is what he says. "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field, and by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." You see, when Adam and Eve took from the tree, the forbidden tree, they didn't just hurt themselves. They hurt everything, including the world. Paul references this in Romans 8 when he says, "For we know that the whole world has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth unto now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we await eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." God specifically in His Word names thorns as a result and a feature of the curse of sin. You see, it's fitting that Jesus would wear a crown. He is king. But it is also fitting and appropriate that His crown be made of thorns. Because unlike Caesar and many of the kings who have come who came before him and have come after. He is a different kind of king. He is not coming to defeat our enemies with great strategy or might. He is the king who bears our curse. So it is appropriate that his crown features our curse. You see, Jesus had to wear a crown of thorns because he came to take our curse. I just want to read two passages where the Bible kind of highlights this. This is Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. And then this passage I'm drawing these verses from is a very difficult passage. But in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, it says this. For the land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated and receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned. Jesus Christ wore a crown of thorns because he came to receive our curse. Whenever I see something that I don't like to see, I avert my eyes. Scary Movie, when I used to watch those. Sometimes you got to close your eyes when you know something is coming that you don't want to see. Embarrassing situation for someone. You know, someone on one of these singing shows can't sing but thinks they can. I have to change the channel. I can't watch it. Even when I'm visiting someone who's in deep grief, maybe they've lost a loved one. Or if you see someone crying, there's just a natural reaction for your eyes to hit the ground. To not want to behold that pain, that awkwardness, that fear. Tonight is a night where we do not avert our eyes. Tonight is a night where we read these passages and we decide to take a prolonged look at our King and his crown of thorns. And we do this because of what is written in 1 Peter 5:4. In 1 Peter 5:4, Peter writes this to us. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Jesus wears this crown of thorns so that your curse might be atoned for and so that he might place on your head as his beloved son and beloved daughter a crown of glory. Amen. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to finish my prayer with a unison prayer, which is found on page 2. Our Lord and our God, help us through your Spirit to not wince or flinch, but to stare headlong into the cost of our redemption. Only you can help us do that. We ask that you would. And let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross, that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your Spirit, that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you, for the honor of your name. Amen.
the shadow of betrayal. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. From Matthew 26. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same thing. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the 3rd time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled. From Psalm 41. "All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. They say, a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up that I may repay them. The word of the Lord.
The shadow of rejection. They hated me without a cause. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. The word of the Lord. Let us respond in unison. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and rise for my help. Draw the spear and javelin against my pursuers. Say to my soul, I am your salvation.
Shadow of trial. Away with him. Away with him. Crucify him. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, Are you the King of the Jews? Jesus answered, Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. Then Pilate said to him, So you are a king. Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, What is truth? After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews? They cried out again, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, Hail, King of the Jews, and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, See, I'm bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him. So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, Behold the man. When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God. When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, Where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you? Jesus answered him, You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has a greater sin. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar. So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover, and it was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, Behold your king! They cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate said to them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. Hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Preserve my life from dread of the enemy. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the throng of evildoers. who whet their tongues like swords, who aim bitter words like arrows, shooting from ambush at the blameless, shooting at him suddenly and without fear. They hold fast to their evil purposes. They talk of laying snares secretly, thinking, who can see them? They search out injustice, saying, we have accomplished a diligent search, for the inward mind and heart of a man are deep. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
the shadow of mocking. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released them for Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. The word of the Lord.
The shadow of crucifixion. They divided my garments among them. And he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things. The word of the Lord.
Shadow of darkness. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, this man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. The word of the Lord. Please read together in unison the response. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, at an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love. Answer me in your saving faithfulness. Deliver me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep one. Let not the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me.
The shadow of death. Not one of his bones will be broken. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. When they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth. And from my mother's womb, you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. The word of the Lord.